What's up, folks? This is Greg Bridges on this national holiday in honor of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Today on Hard Knock Radio, we bring you excerpts of various actions and protests taking place in Oakland and other parts of the Bay Area to reclaim and honor the legacy of Dr. King, from the die-in near Lakeshore to the protests in the Castro District, even a front door reminder for Oakland's new mayor, Libby Schaaf, that Black Lives Matter. That comes up after these news headlines.
Good afternoon. This is Gabriela Castellan with headlines from the KPFA newsroom. The daughter of Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend Bernice King, spoke today at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta for the 47th annual Martin Luther King Jr. annual commemorative service. More than 1,800 people pressed into the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, where King once preached, some holding signs with his famous quote, "I am a man," others with placards reading, "I can't breathe," in Garner's memory, and hands up, don't shoot, to honor Brown. Tributes to civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. were held nationwide as protests over the treatment of minorities by law enforcement rolled on across the country. Observers of Martin Luther King Jr. Day have this year linked the federal holiday to a rallying cry in recent months during demonstrations over police brutality, Black Lives Matter. Vice President Joe Biden spoke about this in Wilmington, Delaware.
It's the second half of the second decade of the 21st century, and there's no reason on earth we cannot repair the breach that we've recently seen between law enforcement and minority communities.
In Montgomery, Alabama, Republican Governor Robert Bentley was sworn in for a second term and spoke about the historic march commemorated by yesterday's march in Selma.
Government will never change unless we change it. Just ask the thousands of brave men and women who a half century ago marched the 54 miles from Selma to the very steps where I stand now.
We'll have details on the marches today in Oakland and San Francisco tonight at 6 p.m. on the Pacifica Evening News. The city of New York has agreed to pay a Brooklyn man $75,000 to settle a lawsuit claiming he was choked and unable to breathe during a 2013 encounter with police. A city law department spokesman says the case was evaluated and it was determined a settlement was in the city's best interests. Attorney Jeffrey Rothman said today that the settlement for Kevin Dennis Palmer Sr. was another example of a Black man choked and beaten down into the ground. The lawsuit was filed a month before Eric Garner said, "I can't breathe," as he was wrestled to the ground by police on Staten Island in July. Garner died. President Barack Obama will deliver his State of the Union address before a joint session of Congress tomorrow. KPFA will air it live at 6 p.m. Although it is bound to contain some surprises, the White House has spent 2 weeks rolling out many of the themes he plans to highlight. A White House advisor said the theme of the address would be middle-class economics and, in particular, tax reform. Obama will call for closing loopholes that benefit the wealthiest Americans and using the money to help the middle class with expenses such as education and child care. The president upset Republicans last year with executive action that removed the threat of deportation for millions of illegal immigrants. He's likely to repeat the message he made then. If you don't like it, pass a bill to reform the system. Obama will call on Congress to pass the Healthy Families Act, which would allow millions of working Americans to earn up to 7 days a year of paid sick leave. And Obama will propose a $60 billion program to offer 2 years of free community college tuition to students. Antonia Gonzalez has more.
During recent trips around the country, Obama unveiled a proposal for higher education. In this video message from Air Force One, he discusses the plan.
Put simply, what I'd like to do is to see the first 2 years of community college free for everybody who's willing to work for it. That's right, free for everybody who's willing to work for it. It's something that we can accomplish, and it's something that'll train our workforce so that we can compete with anybody in the world.
According to the White House, it would save a full-time community college student more than $3,000 in tuition per year. Indian educators are among those praising the plan. There are more than 30 tribal colleges and universities across the country. Dr. Leander Russ McDonald is president of the United Tribes Technical College. McDonald says a majority of the students entering tribal colleges are from some of the poorest counties in the nation. He says the average tribal college tuition is about $3,000 and says Obama's plan would benefit Native students and tribal colleges.
we see nationally in the educational trends when we compare ourselves globally is that we're moving lower and lower on a ladder in regard to education. So I think it's a great initiative to push forward in order to help raise the educational level nationally and also to help those of us in smaller communities for our students to go to school.
McDonald made the comments recently on the radio show Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Reyes Lopez Tijerina, a champion of Chicano land rights claims and the leader of a group that raided a northern New Mexico courthouse nearly 50 years ago, has died at age 88. We'll have details on these and other stories at 6 p.m. on the Pacifica Evening News. Join us then. Back to Hard Knock Radio.
Yo, this is M1 from Dead Prez.
Hey, what's up? This is Boots from the Coup.
Nah, I mean, telling you to stay tuned to Hard Knock Radio.
Keep it locked.
On the move, this is Pam Africa on Hard Knock Radio, the station of resistance. Down with this rotten-ass system.
Yo, check this out. Hard Knock Radio coming at you. Bringing the noise. This is Chuck D, Public Enemy number one. News, views, and hip-hop.
Peace and love. This is Azeem. And you're listening to Hard Knock Radio. Real radio. From the concrete up. All the way to the sun. Keep shining, y'all. One love.
What's up, folks? This is your girl, Femi, representing the whole Bay Area. I'm here on Hard Knock Radio. News, views, and hip-hop. Stay tuned.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
To the girl on Facebook who commented hashtag All Lives Matter. After deeming the protest she attended a hateful event Martin Luther King would have been ashamed of, call it an overreaction. Call it a riot. A violent protest. Call it everything but justified. Ask us to be polite. To stay calm, to voice grief with respect while our brothers' bodies are laid out on the street, sounding the alarm. Our bodies are threats well before they are human, yet you still want to know the source of our rage. You fear our rage will happen across a storefront window, will happen across a corporate office. You fear the glass shards glittering under police helicopters. We fear your rage will drag our children into the streets and dance
in the red pool beaming under street lamps. I cannot decorate this pain for you. I cannot make a beautiful homage. I can't invoke hope in prayers. I don't know how to make you understand the occupation your ignorance has blinded you to. That black bodies are stopped and frisked so often, we might as well call our cities war zones. Every street corner a checkpoint. Violence is not always a dead body. Violence can be a pat down in broad daylight because you share the same hue as suspect violence. Is indicting the man who filmed the killing of Eric Garner, but not the officer that illegally choked the life out of his body while five others assisted in the arrest. Violence is convincing a jury that he caused his own death, that had he not been overweight, he would have survived. Violence is needing six officers to arrest one unarmed, nonviolent man in the first place. How can we accept a government that only applies the law to fill prisons with black bodies? How can we accept a government that permits and perpetuates violence against its own people? The state traded white hoods for police uniforms. The cops kill more black people each year than the KKK lynched. And you want our marches peaceful. You want us calm. You want us quiet. Stop asking us to bite our tongues when we cannot guarantee our siblings safe passage to the corner store. And yet you still want to talk about looting. Want to police our protest tactics. You want me to know that you would have cared about the tombstones this nation is hoarding if we hadn't blocked traffic. You think stopping trains is silly. You want us to march peacefully. To replicate your disfigured perception of Martin, but Dr. King said, riots are the voices of the unheard, and you will hear us now. Libby, you will hear us now. It is not enough for you to hold our dead in your prayers, to wish us love and light. I get the sentiment, but it won't keep my kin from becoming ghosts. I am not interested in resignations or remorse. I don't want apologies. I don't want your guilt. I don't want your tears. I don't want insistence on how not racist you are. I don't want to know how many black friends you have. When you won't even risk the discomfort of calling out your own classmates. You just don't get it, do you? You've never lived out the aftermath. The empty seat at the dinner table. The now widowed mother with six mouths to feed. My kin are being sent to heaven well before God has requested their return. And yet you still want to know why Malcolm called whiteness the devil. You can say all lives matter. But all lives are not killed every 28 hours. All lives will matter when black lives matter. How many more bodies will be enough evidence? How many more videos of our last words? How many more must there be for you to finally call this a genocide?
Hands up!
Don't shoot!
Hands up!
Don't shoot!
Hands up!
Don't shoot!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
Pastor Mike McBride, talk about this action, which is part of a larger situation around Martin Luther King's birthday. What was this about? What are y'all doing?
Well, we, the black churches in the Bay Area, thought it would be important for us to sponsor a showing of Selma and then give our congregations an opportunity to participate in the national movement to reclaim the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. And today was one act of many that will happen throughout Monday where we will resist. We will engage in acts of civil disobedience to reclaim the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King.
One of the things that people seem to have forgotten with respect to King was that they equate his nonviolence with passivity. But in the movie Selma, it seems that his nonviolence is anything but very confrontational. Do you think the church and fellow pastors that you have here have kind of forgotten that part of his tradition?
Well, I think all of us can forget our history when we don't spend enough time immersed in it. It is indeed the case that Dr. King, even though he was a champion of nonviolence, it was a militant nonviolence, it was confrontational. Dr. King said that peace is not the absence of tension, but the presence of justice. So we believe that the churches are now reflecting on how we can be more engaged in confronting the powers of this age that continue to enact injustice upon members in our own community who find themselves to be assaulted from the three evils that Dr. King talked about: militarism, materialism, and racism. It requires a confrontation, and we're going to do that confrontation.
And, you know, lastly, one of the things with King is that him, the SCLC, SNCC, which, you know, is often depicted as the, you know, the rival group or the more militant faction, they all had strategies. They all did a lot to plan. But with that being said, let me ask you this. They all did a lot to plan. But with that being said, what's the strategy today? Because we do know that adjustments were made to deal with King. You know, in Albany, Georgia, they made adjustments for the mass arrest. And so they've got more jails so that it wasn't as effective. The media didn't cover him as much in certain situations. What's the strategy today?
Well, I think the strategy first and foremost for us is to expose our people in the congregations to actions that they themselves may have seen on TV but not themselves have been engaged in. We want to radicalize the congregations. We want to radicalize the participants in faithful adherence to Scripture to love justice just as much as we love peace, just as much as we love righteousness, to love justice. We expect a recalibration from the powers that be in our communities and in our political systems. But as they adjust, so will we adjust. But we will not go away. We will not go quietly into the night. We will be just as brilliant and just as tactical and strategic until justice is achieved for our community members.
You've been working in Ferguson, and in that aspect, one thing that seems to have stood out with the people there is that they have not backed down and they have not compromised even when offered trinkets. King also lost a lot of support because he wouldn't back down and compromise. And with that backing down, with that not backing down, it often meant maybe losing relationships. He lost a relationship with President Johnson. How do we deal with that now? Because many people felt that we should not agitate and we should not push Barack Obama. There was a large contingent of people within the black community that pointed to King and quoted him and then said we shouldn't agitate Barack Obama. He's playing chess, not checkers.
Well, I would say this, that the great only relationship that I'm worried about losing is a relationship with my people and with my community. And I think as long as the people are willing to put their bodies and their lives on the line for justice, so must we. I think it's important to appreciate as well that this is a moment of reckoning for progressive elected officials and politicians who under their watch have seen the greatest disparities economically, health-wise, educationally. And it is important for progressive liberal politicians to not, on their watch, watch this standard of life for black people and poor people in this country get worse. As the film showed, the president had to come to his own realization. And he said he did not want history to judge him as being Governor Wallace. So I'll ask the mayor of Berkeley, I'll ask the mayor of San Francisco, I'll ask the mayor of Oakland, I'll ask the governor of the state of California, which side are you on? Are you the modern-day Governor Wallace, or are you going to be standing on the side of justice and the side of people? Which side are you on?
Pastor Mike McBride, we appreciate it. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
The promises of the great society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home. Others can do what they want to do. That's their business. Other civil rights leaders, for various reasons, refuse or can't take a stand or have to go along with the administration. That's their business. But I'm a say tonight that I know that justice is indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Davey D, hanging out with you. We're still down here at this historic march. It looks like there's about 3,000 people here now getting ready to walk down International Boulevard. Tell everybody who you are and what brings you out here.
My name is Lubna Murad, and I'm with the Arab Resource and Organizing Center, as well as the Palestinian Youth Movement. What brings me down here is it's not just black lives that matter. It's the fact that black resistance matters. It's the fact that we see black people in the streets of the United States that are being harassed, killed, and imprisoned inside of a system that has been designed essentially to continue to incarcerate black and minority people.
Now, there were a number of people from your organization that took place in shutting down the Fed building on the kickoff of this weekend. Let me ask you this. Make the connection between King, his increasing radicalness, and some of the struggles that may be in existence right now in Palestine, where you're from, and within the Arab world in general. How do you make those connections to black resistance?
Well, how we see black resistance is that without the liberation of black people, there will be no liberation of Palestine and the Palestinians. Without the liberation of minorities, there will be no liberation without the people of color inside of the United States, or even workers or workers' rights. There's a lot of things that are essentially intertwined with each other, but these are the things in which that we find essentially have a huge role in playing when it comes to black resistance, and the way that, you know, we also want to fight, like Palestinians in the streets of San Francisco and in Oakland and essentially in the United States want to follow the role of black leadership, you know, and especially because they have been so disenfranchised in the United States that has taken away so much of their rights just as people living in this country, you know.
Let me ask you this. You know, one of the big challenges we have is dealing with the anti-blackness that exists in many communities, and including many Arab communities. But it's compounded with the type of play that's been made within Israel. When they've gone on to college campuses, they're bringing black students there, fully paid trips, and within that sort of dialogue that takes place, they are trying to definitely draw these wedges between various communities that essentially should be united. How do we overcome those types of things that in many places are long-standing and in some places even institutionalized?
Well, the thing is that we have to look at Israel and the U.S. as sole entities that are rising powers against people of color. I mean, even inside of Israel today, you know, you have a large group of Africans that are coming in inside of Israel, and there's anti-black protests inside of Israel. And Israel, on top of that, occupies Palestinians. They incarcerate Palestinians. They kill off Palestinians. They confiscate land. So the connections in which we see in the United States and in Israel is not much different when it comes to how essentially black people are being treated here in the U.S., but also as well as how black people are being treated inside of Israel, you know? And you also have things like inside of Israel where, you know, where the government is actually releasing birth control for Ethiopian women, you know, so that Ethiopian women don't give birth to black babies inside of Israel. Right. I mean, don't we see that same type of system that's being worked here?
Right. How do we deal with anti-blackness within Arab circles?
How do we deal? I think that it's very unfortunate the way that anti-blackness has been perpetrated all over the world, but especially inside of the Arab communities, because there is such a long-standing system of oppression that constantly continues to oppress all minorities and all people of color, and especially when people of color are oppressing other people. I mean, we can't just look at these things on an individual level and say, okay, how can we not have, you know, the Yemeni liquor store owner not sell liquor to the black community, because it's a larger system that's in play, you know? And these are the things that we need to deconstruct. And I think it's an ongoing process, you know? And especially when you start to connect the dots in the United States, when you're, you know, for us in our community, when we talk to our community and we're telling them to connect the dots of how Palestinians are being racially profiled inside of Palestine, just like how black people are being racially profiled inside of the United States, the connection just becomes automatic and people start to break down those barriers that have been created of racism.
And then lastly, we know that people from Ferguson were down in Palestine and just getting back. Your thoughts on that and how it may tie in to what we're doing today with Dr. King's celebration?
Yeah. I thought that was probably one of the most significant mass movements to have ever been, to our contingent to have ever gone into Palestine. Especially because for a number of reasons. One, they're very fortunate to have gotten into Palestine, being a radical black organizations and organizers and activists who are coming in to look at the indigenous livelihood of Palestinians. So I wish I was a part of it, you know, because, I mean, it was just something that was like so beautiful and something that was really captivating. How does it relate to Malcolm X's work today? Martin Luther King's work today. Whoops, sorry. How does it connect to the work today? We all know that before Martin Luther King was assassinated, that his politics were very much shifting, and that he's always been a radical human being his entire life. And I think it just goes to show you that that people power prevails all the time, you know. And when oppression sees oppression, we recognize and we fight against the oppression, you know.
That's real talk. Well, we appreciate you taking time out. And we're going to take a break here on Hard Knock Radio as we're looking. People are getting ready to start marching down International Boulevard. We'll be checking in with you. We're out for now. Peace.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Davey D hanging out with you. Who are we talking to right now?
Right now we are speaking with Melanie Green, part one of the two. Melanie and Malora Green, the Eat Veggie Lounge.
That's right, the famous twins who are artists extraordinaire. What do you think about today, and especially the theme of reclaiming King's dream? Reclaiming Martin Luther King's legacy. I mean, as they said, it's been about him dreaming, and they moved away from his radical direct action, confrontational thing, and that's what seems to be the message today.
Yeah, I think people are trying to bring it back to, you know, the economic standpoint, you know, really respecting labor, respecting the work that the everyday people take on to really make this country function. And so getting back to that message about the empowerment of people being human beings and respected for their contribution is really what it's all about. And when you get down to that, you know, you really have to talk to yourself about where you stand. What are your politics on black folks and brown folks and how you see that?
We have so many people out here, thousands of people. Do you think the message is going to weigh in on those elected officials that are got Mystic walking by? Wow, everybody's out there. Mystic, the Grammy-nominated artist just rolled through. But with that being said, you know, do you think that with all these people out here that it will make a difference in terms of the policies that people have been fighting for, changing the way that policing is done and all that sort of stuff?
We will see. You know, a lot of times you get people just excited to do something and to be in action with the protest and be action with the movement. But I think if everyone takes on what this is really about, it will go beyond today's march. And so I think time will tell if we really get it, because it's going to really say where we spend our dollars, you know, that's really our politics, you know, how we, what we endorse and what we support. So I hope that that education really rings through. I mean, that's the hope.
Well, Melanie, we appreciate you. Melanie, right? Because she had a twin, so it's Melanie and Melora. So I'd be like, Melora? No, Melanie.
No.
Right. After all these years, I still can't tell the difference. Y'all got to wear different, same color clothes all the time. We're going to take a break.
I'd like to use as a subject from which to speak this afternoon the other America. And I use this subject because there are literally two Americas. One America is beautiful for situation. And in a sense, this America is overflowing with the milk of prosperity and the honey of opportunity. This America is the habitat of millions of people who have food and material necessities for their bodies, and culture and education for their minds, and freedom and human dignity for their spirits. In this America, millions of people experience every day the opportunity of having life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in all of their dimensions. And in this America, millions of young people grow up in the sunlight of opportunity. But tragically and unfortunately, there is another America. And this other America has a daily ugliness about it that constantly transforms the buoyancy of hope into the fatigue of despair. In this America, millions of work-starved men walk the streets daily in search for jobs that do not exist. In this America, millions of people find themselves living in rat-infested, vermin-filled slums. In this America, people are poor by the millions, and they find themselves perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. In a sense, the greatest tragedy of this other America is what it does to little children. Little children in this other America are forced to grow up with clouds of inferiority forming every day in their little mental sky.
Right now, there's so many people out here. It looks like there's probably one of the largest Martin Luther King marches in the history of Oakland. There are several thousand people. You hear people dancing. Josh Healy, man, what do you think about what's going on? Josh Healy from Creative Wildfire.
This is beautiful. Reclaiming MLK. This is how Oakland does it. Waking up the mayor in the morning, marching in the afternoon.
What do you hope comes out of this? I mean, it's good to have a good march, but do you think this will build momentum for something else?
This is the start of 2015, and across the country, people are picking up. And here in Oakland, I know things are picking up with the new mayor and the new resistance. And we know that this is just a start, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful day in Oakland today.
That's real talk. We're just in a sea of people right now, of all ages, all races. And people are just turned up. I mean, I'm talking about turned up in ways that we just haven't even seen in Oakland in a very, very long time. Thousands of people are down here. We're going to talk to some more folks.
You can hear Hard Knock Radio every day from 4 to 5 p.m. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal bringing you weekly commentaries live from Death Row.
Davey D hanging out with you, hanging out here in front of the home of Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf. There's a number of people that are here, and can you describe what's going on and why you all are here at 5 in the morning? You know, what's going on?
Yeah, so we're here for a few reasons. One of the main reasons is that folks in Oakland have made a commitment to reclaim Dr. King's legacy. What we inherited was Dr. King the Dreamer, and what we lost was Dr. King the Radical, the direct action practitioner. And so that's what we're here today, to reclaim that legacy. And we wanted to engage Libby Schaaf because on her first day as mayor, she chose to spend the entire day with the Oakland Police Department, a police force that predominantly does not live in this city, police force that has consistently terrorized black communities, and so this is the people's inauguration. We're saying you spent your first day with blue. Today on MLK Day, you're going to hear black.
You mentioned something that I don't think a lot of people realize. About 80% of Oakland's police does not live in the city. They didn't vote in this election, so why were they the first people that she spent her day with?
Exactly, because it's clear priorities. You know, there's a lot of reasons why that's a problem. When folks are policing communities that they don't belong to, they see that community as not their own. So that's the issue. The other issue is 80% of the police don't live here, so they're taking all of our resources out of our city. That's having huge negative impacts on our economy.
Last year, Oakland saw a significant drop in its murder rate. They attribute that to a lot of community work, you know, merged with law enforcement being used a little bit more effectively. From what I'm hearing, since that's happened, we've had 7 murders or something like that already, with the police no longer in these places but now patrolling the hills. So the resources are being moved around. Your thoughts on just that alone?
So I think that when the economy is bad, crime is up, right? So folks don't do enough research around the implications of our economy on crime rates. And so that I'm never one to credit the police for dropping crime, because I don't believe that their work does that. I believe we need restorative justice work to do that. I believe we need investment in our communities to do that.
Well, I bring this up because her promise was to get more police hired. If the crime rate has dropped, which it did, and the murder rate is gone, which has happened, there's no reason to have those more police. But if they're not being used effectively, quotations around the word effectively, and now they're patrolling the hills where you don't have crime, because now if you drive around, I mean, look at all the police that are here. When we came over there, they now patrol the hills. Then that gives the excuse to now hire, you know, those police.
More police officers. And she's also being clear around who she's the mayor for. You know, Libby likes to say, I was born and raised in District 4. Well, honey, we weren't all born and raised in District 4. Oakland is a huge city with very diverse groups, and we all need support, right? And so it's very clear where she's putting her energy and her resources. Another problem is a lot of these communities up here have also started to get private security companies that I'm sure we will see an impact. You know, there was somebody who was shot by one in the Glenview or Diamond area before. So a lot of things to be wary about around Libby's mayoral time here.
Will there be a follow-up? I mean, she hasn't come out of her residence yet. The police are here. There must be about 30 cops here this morning. What do you think it's going to take to really start to shift policies and shift priorities?
I think that this is what's going to need to continue to happen. I'm not going to quote directly, but Dr. King once said that direct action is a form of negotiation. We're creating such a crisis that folks who continuously have not listened to us will be forced to confront issues. So that's what we're trying to do.
You know, my last thing, since we are acknowledging and celebrating Dr. King's birthday, y'all have been playing a lot of speeches, and these are speeches that you normally don't hear with Dr. King. You know, they're focusing on blackness and the beauty of it. They're focusing on the economy. Talk about that. That's not by accident.
Right. So we wanted to be very intentional in reclaiming Dr. King's legacy, that we lift up his voice in ways that we don't often hear it. So what we always hear is the I have a dream speech, right? My baby's going to be able to hold hands with white babies. Everything's going to be good. But what we don't hear is his critical analysis around capitalism. What we don't hear is his love for black folks and the need to lift up black power. So that's what we're trying to lift up here today.
Well, we appreciate that. What's your name again?
Carissa Lewis.
Carissa, thank you so much. We're going to take a break here. We'll be right back.
What's happening? This is Paris, the original street soldier, and you in tune to Hard Knock Radio.
No sleeping on a job.
No sleeping on a job.
Okay, okay. Mic check.
Mic check.
Good morning, Libby. This is the people's alarm. Wake up. You chose to spend your first day as our mayor. With the Oakland Police Department. A force that has terrorized black communities. Our communities. Since its inception. You prioritize blue. But today on MLK Day. You will hear black. Know that King's legacy. Is more than a dream. It is an action.
It is resistance.
If we can't breathe,
you can't dream.
And until you wake to meet our local and national demands, you can't sleep.
Department.
Our children.
Our
DDD still hanging out with you? We just finished talking to Lubna from A-Rock, and now we're running into Ashley Yates out of Ferguson. What do you think of today's protests, especially going through all that you've gone through being down in Ferguson? So here you are seeing this.
Today was beautiful. I actually did an action with the Black Lives Matter chapter here in Oakland, collaborative between the Blackout Collective and Black Lives Matter chapter, where we woke up the mayor of Oakland, who chose to spend her first day as an elected official with the police department, who did not elect her. She was elected by the constituency of the masses of people who she is not representing. So they did the action to bring the demands to her front door. Actually, Carissa was there with me. She can tell you a little bit more about it if you want to know.
I remember that. Carissa, you went to the door. We had you on earlier, but you went to the front door?
Nah, some of our comrades went to the front door.
What happened at that meet when the door was knocked on?
Yeah, so the mayor's husband answered the door, and he was concerned that we didn't think about his neighbors. And so we reiterated that we're concerned that the mayor routinely isn't thinking about Black lives.
What was his response to that?
That he had to check on the babies.
Wow, so Libby Schaff never showed up.
No, she never came out. We know she was in there, though.
We appreciate that. How would you compare some of what you're seeing today with what you've seen in Ferguson? I mean, because all this is building off of a lot of what went on.
Well, it's beautiful to see the people that have worked together to forward this movement come up with an idea to reclaim MLK and see the nation really take hold to that and really have marches like this in the spirit of resistance, and not only with the spirit of peaceful protest, but with the spirit of peaceful protest coming from a place of love of Black people and not from a place of compliance with the state, but rather to show our strength in resistance and really highlight the racial issues that exist in America today. And I think it's wonderful to see it in Oakland. You know, Ferguson and St. Louis are turning up right now. D.C. is turning up. New York is having a march, and everybody's really just reclaiming not only who Martin Luther King Jr. was, but also what he stood for.
Where do you see things maybe a year from now?
A year from now, I'm hoping that our elected officials will realize that when the voice of the people rise up, they should answer immediately.
And then last question, I heard that many of the Congressional Black Caucus members are down in Ferguson. Have you heard any word about that, with them being down there?
Yeah, absolutely. They're down there. The community activists have not met with them. They did meet with several people, but no one from the real community that's been organizing there, no one that's in touch with the community, no one that's from the community actually met with them. And they have not reached out at all. They're trying. I think it speaks to the power of the movement that elected officials are finally starting to come into the city. But once they come, they need to actually meet with the people who have been organizing, who are from the neighborhoods and know the issues. Just coming by to do a drive-by photo op isn't enough, and that's what they're doing right now in Ferguson.
We appreciate it. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
People unite as one, Ghetto International. People unite as one, Ghetto International. This is rebel music. Come and get into it. For that ghetto movement, people, our nation, it's Hard Knock Radio. What's up, y'all? This is Jennifer Johns, big kicking at Hard Knock Radio. News, views, and hip hop right here.
People unite as one, Ghetto International. People unite as one, Ghetto International.
This is rebel music. Come and get into it. Oh, that ghetto
movement, people or nations, it's time to heal the world.
Hear the
banging of the drum.
Feel the
change is going to come.
Unite
as one people, our nations, it's time to heal the world.
People rise, hear the ghetto celebration. It's our time for our people, heal the nation. We on the grind, solve the ghetto situation. And no more patience, we racing from a place where we facing the crime and a constant state of pain. When we free our minds, yes, we must emancipate them. Till the time on my people, hip-hop nation.
Ghetto, ghetto, all original people. Let go, cause the rhythm won't reach you. Zekko, cause the spirit won't feed you. Come to mash it up, cause we need you. Hey, yo, the DJ fit the blend. Where we no pretend. 808s to elevate my state, I say amen. Battlefield, ill, gold, grill, gripping pants. From the field to the hills, and I'm still spitting gems. Down in the game, mama birthed the king. Kick drums, pummel your brain, hat swing. Scientific shower, power by the hour. We watch guard, knowing the time, rush the tower.
People unite as one, Ghetto International.
I'm not dog. But though with me, but in audio. Unidad y respeto son necesarios. Y también tu chon chon. Soy el éxito chon chon. Donde la ya le sabe mucho pum pum. I'm gonna be a sick girl. Wish me I'm a rapper from the
يا اخواني نتكلم بلساني الاولاني عشان تفهموا علي وانا غادي افهم تاني سيردوا جوابي عدول بحكيهم people of the world how much longer can we keep on watching one another cry taking one another's lies disguise the lies it's genocide till the other dies if you be my ears then I'll be your eyes block to block with the hood of nations worldwide
you heard it from the mouth of El Negrito representing people that been treated unequal but that can't define us now Bronco now Pretzel grounds with you get when you bridge up all the levels, so just mix the paint and blend the pigment. International sound of time, go on, hit it. We better words, fakers, dreads, play smash mouth, and keep making moves till the movement's maxed out.
The hours upon us, the towers of Babylon are crumbling. It's now and ever devour the powers that be corrupting. The flowers of ours are powerful now as who's conducting. A positive vibe and arrival of trouble turned off to visiting one thing. To rise and surprise to the odds and the wise and the rights is something. To come clean with ugly or something. Can't come clean.
Let me speak for my sisters international. We're building our men in ghettos to the faith that they can't handle it. We watch our streets and our sisters eat them holes. We have no scatter. We dipping on grace to save our souls. We're dipping it low. Playing the whole role. See, that's a world. Americana, the whole world is watching you. So, what we showing them? Tell me where we going. And the universe is folding in from fear to pain to joy. You're listening. It's a women generation hip hop. Well, why does that to us? We got to make this madness stop. We build them up. And we give them some love. Get the women. It's on us. Got to give them some love.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. So just as I say we aren't gonna let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't gonna let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
January 31st, KPFA and the Bay Area will say goodbye to longtime music programmer Mary Berg. Mary transitioned to the spirit world November 28, 2014. And you are invited to come take some time to mourn her death, but of course to celebrate her life and all that she was. The memorial celebration will be January 31st from 2 to 5 p.m. at the BFUU Fellowship Hall, 1924 Cedar Street at Cedar and Bonita in North Berkeley. There will be speakers, food, and of course, beautiful music. Once again, this will be January 31st from 2 to 5 p.m. at the BFUU Fellowship Hall, 1924 Cedar Street at Cedar and Bonita in North Berkeley. This is wheelchair accessible. We thank you, Mary, for everything you've done.
And this is 94.1 KPFA, 89.3 KPFA.